Welcome to the Fields of Fantasy podcast, hosted by Pestel and Ed.
And welcome to the final Fields of Fantasy show before the NFL draft. It is just Pestel of TH Fantasy Football with you today, but I'm not alone. We have four times now, friend of the show, Rich Cooling, Dynasty Island Twitter of Fantasy Sanctuary. How are you, Rich?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Yeah, love coming on with you guys. So yeah, thank you so much for having me back. It's always a pleasure.
I think you're very, very close. Your word count on our show is probably already surpassed Tom's, the quiet man of TH Fantasy Football. So yeah, really, really glad to have you. To talk about, I think, everybody's favourite thing when we get to this stage of looking at fantasy and rookie drafts are the sleeper picks. So we're going to have a bit of a chat about those sleeper picks, potentially players that we're going to be really keeping an eye on in the draft, who their landing spot, and I'm getting a little bit bored of saying landing spot dependent at this time of the year, but landing spot dependent could have some real good fantasy relevance. But first, our usual bit of admin. So TH Fantasy Football Best Ball Bonanza, we are just at the time of recording up to 112 signups. We are fast approaching £900 raised, including gift aid. So thank you very much to everyone who signed up already. If you could please, 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 please continue to get yourselves involved. We love to get to 150. You can compete alongside people like Rich himself, can compete, get alongside Rich's partner in crime, Tom Strachan, Murph of 5 Yard Rush. So if you want to pitch yourself against the UK experts of the field, this is your opportunity to do so. Our usual shout out as well to some of the other fantastic UK-based best ball tournaments as well for charity. So as always, JTT Cup. I think they're closing in on 550, aren't they, at this stage, Rich?
Yeah, I think so. I've been winding up, Matt, that we're going to be pushed for 600. So yeah, I think they're closing in on 550, as you said, though.
Every time he hits a deadline, people goad him into another higher total. But fantastic money being raised there as well. Orton Charity Bowl, Argyle Bowl, Warrior Bowl. Obviously, everybody this time is getting those entries in for the Scotty Fish Bowl as well. But I'd like to have a particular shout out to a group we've been interacting with over the course of this evening on Twitter, the Battle of the Sexes Fantasy Football Best Ball Tournament. Please, please get yourself involved. That's a fantastic charity best ball tournament, raising money for both breast and prostate cancer charities and trying to close that gap, making sure more women are involved in fantasy football as well. So I've been having a very brief chat with Wendy, who's organising that this evening, so we're going to get her on the show in a couple of weeks. So please have a look for that. Rather than going through all those different places to sign up, get yourself over to TH_fantasy_NFL towards the top of our posts, and you will see a link to all of those on there. So get yourself involved. Have you lost count how many you're currently involved in, Rich?
Yeah, it's almost a pleasant surprise when we get to June, July. I sort of enter a lot at this time of year, and then I'll get an invite to a league, and I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about that one, and oh yeah, I forgot about that one as well. So yeah, no, I mean, it's the best thing about the fantasy community, quite frankly, is, you know, raising money for charity, joining amazing leagues. You get to meet some fantastic people. I've been lucky enough to, you know, partake in a huge plethora of different fantasy leagues or charities. So yeah, absolutely love it, and would encourage, if you've not tried it, go and do it, because it's all good fun and you're raising great money for charity.
And that is almost a perfect segue is when you talk about the community and meeting new people within that community. Rich, could I ask you to tell us a little bit about the UK FFC as well, please?
Yeah, of course. So we're back for our third year now. I had to think there. So yeah, this started a few years ago. It was basically a few of us chatting about how it would be awesome to get a meetup, some sort of thing organised. So we kind of jumped in and kind of basically just thought, let's just go and do it. So we raised some really good money for charity. We had some panels, some meetups, some live drafts. Was fantastic. We then came back for a second year last year, partnered with Scott Fish Bowl. So we have some live Scott Fish Bowl drafts on the Friday night, and then the main day on the Saturday. Unfortunately, last year I got food poisoning on the Friday night, so missed the Saturday.
That's not throwing any shade at Belushi's, is it, Rich?
I would never do that. Of course, no. We're back again there for this year. So yeah, they obviously did a good enough job for us last year. But yeah, credit to Dan and Hannah who helped organise it with me. They held the fort incredibly well with me dropping out the morning of. But yeah, we're back this year at Belushi's, 13th of July. We've got the live draft party on the Friday night. So we will have some Scott Fishbowl drafts and some other drafts partaking on that night. And then the Saturday, we've got three panels. We've got a Q&A. We've got a beer pong tournament, which is a new entry this year. But basically, it's an opportunity for the community to get together, have a drink, have a chat, find out, you know, meet the people in person that you've been engaging with on Twitter and podcasts and all that kind of thing. So yeah, it's just a really good, fun, chilled day out, basically. And if you've not got your ticket, I recommend you do. It's a great day, and we raise a lot of money for charity. So yeah, come down and see us.
Yeah, we are really, really looking forward to that. Ed and I are, we're going to be brash and say we are going to wipe the floor with the competition in the beer pong tournament, at least until we get knocked out in the first round. We will hold still to that until we've been easily eliminated. Fields Fantasy are proud and honoured to have been able to sponsor that first night, that Friday night draft party as well. If you keep an eye on the UKFFC Twitter page, announcements of the guest panellists and other exciting announcements all on there. And in the near future, there'll be a sneaky little announcement featuring TH Fantasy Football as well. We shall leave that to the UKFFC team to announce. But shall we look forward to the draft now, Rich? And as a Jets fan, we are sorry for your misery. But as a Jets fan, what are you hoping the Jets will do for in this upcoming draft? And what will that fantasy impact be when obviously we know this is absolutely going to be the year of Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably going to be really boring and say I hope we trade back and draft some offensive linemen. So yeah, probably not.
It
the
would
most
make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah, probably not the most exciting thing for a fantasy show. But look, the offensive line is horrendous. It has been horrendous for the last 4 years. Yes, okay, we've spent a lot of money in free agency. We've made a really nice trade for Morgan Moses, and in theory, we've now got a competent starting five. But I'd be worried if, you know, we don't learn the lessons of the last 3 years and try and go into the season saying we've got five starting offensive linemen and don't address the depth. So I'd love it if we could move back from 10, whether that be kind of, you know, move back sort of 5-10 picks, stay in that range of the top four or five tackles, draft the tackle, add a day two pick where we're obviously missing the second rounder because we traded for Aaron Rodgers, and then go and find some playmakers, whether that be a tight ends, wide receivers, maybe even a receiving back, you know, kind of a gadget type player. I'd just love to see us add some explosions, some playmakers to the offense after we've addressed the offensive line.
As someone who's got lots of shares of Garrett Wilson in Dynasty, I would like to see the Jets offensive line get upgraded as well, for purely selfish points of view. But thinking about fantasy, we are here to talk about some rookie sleepers who we will be hoping to be trying to pick up with those speculative later round picks in our rookie drafts. Obviously, at this stage, we are going to hear the names. We're talking about sleepers of Brock Purdy, Puka Nacua. People are going to want to get those players later on in their drafts. But this is something we've kind of speak a lot about when it comes to the rookie drafts and your dynasty drafts as well. It is also just as important to think about who is your next reliable week in, week out flex play. If you're in a deeper wide receiver league, who is your week in, week out player you can trust as your third wide receiver as well, or your backup running back? So, yes, we all want to get Brock Purdy on our taxi squad to be a reliable quarterback. We all want to get Puka Nacua so we can say we knew it was coming and that he was going to be that breakout star. But it's also important, as it is with your NFL rosters, to make sure your fantasy roster is packed out with depth, especially for your dynasty rosters. Shall we start with some running backs, Rich?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's dive in.
So, first up, a name that every single person in the fantasy community is familiar with, just with Junior signed to the end. Do you want to tell us about Frank Gore Jr. from Southern Missouri, who is one of your sleeper candidates, Rich?
Yeah, I think if you watch him on tape, he's probably shockingly a little bit like Frank Gore in that he's just a solid, reliable player. You know, he doesn't really do anything incredibly well. He's not massively explosive. He's good as a receiver, but he's not running a huge amount of routes. He's not the kind of player that's going to take the ball to the house every single time he touches it. But then you kind of plug in the numbers and look at the analytics, and he's just ticks every box from an analytics perspective. You know, good age adjusted receiving yards per team pass attempt, decent yards per team rush attempt, good elusive rating, good rushing touchdown percentage breakout, and just really a solid, reliable back. Now, do I think Frank Gore Jr. is going to be a top 12 running back for the dynasty? No. Do I think he's probably going to be ever get into the top 24? No. But he's the kind of guy that could easily be a 1B in an NFL offense that over time could turn into a 1A and could end up being a solid, reliable flex play for you. And you can probably get him in the third, if not the fourth round of your rookie draft. So maybe not the most exciting player, but it feels like he's very likely going to be a solid double where he's going in drafts rather than that boom bust home run, but probably going to strike out kind of thing.
He's someone that we spoke about very, very briefly on our running back show as someone I think we will see more than most running backs going higher than he should in rookie drafts, especially the leagues that we're in where you have your more casual players. You get towards the end of the third round, into a fourth round of a rookie draft, and people go for a name they have heard, and people have heard of Frank Gore. So that I think that's going to play into it. We said it was the same with Thaddeus Moss, when everyone was taking Thaddeus Moss with their last pick of third round, because oh, I've heard of Randy Moss. I wonder if Thaddeus is any good. So I think we're getting there. But when you watch him, he's got good hands. His contact balance, because he's got such a low centre of gravity, is really, really good. And he's the way he follows a block as well stood out. But you think, say, he's steady, he's reliable. He's a sort of player that if you ended up with on your taxi squad or on a deep bench, you could imagine plugging in playing if we have that massive wave of running back injuries and he's next man up at some stage next year. So he could be used from that point of view. It just kind of lacks that explosiveness and breakaway speed, doesn't it, as well? That some, I suppose, though, we say that of a lot of the running backs in this class. He's certainly someone I think we will hear a lot of, and certainly someone I imagine on draft day. There'll be lots of obvious comparisons being made to Mr. Frank Gore Sr. during that stage as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next, so we had a debate about how to pronounce this gentleman's name before, so I'm going to leave it to you to say, Rich, and I will just follow suit.
Yeah, so it's Dylan Laub out of New Hampshire.
So 23, so an older back, which obviously... it's going to raise those questions, isn't it, with the shorter life of running backs. But the one thing that's out to me is someone commented a game against him, which, remember, Central Michigan, 12 receptions, 295 yards and a touchdown in a game. I mean, straight away, you've got a highlight reel ready for YouTube from a game. But he's a lot more than that, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you kind of got to start with the receiving potential. I mean, the numbers are absolutely wild. This is a guy that saw 88 targets in 10 games in his final season at New Hampshire. I mean, there's plenty of receivers in the NFL that would like to get almost 9 targets a game. You look at the advanced numbers as a true freshman, 42.9% targets per route run, 6.17 yards per route run. Now, those are fairly small sample size because he only played in 6 games, but I mean, that's absolutely wild. Like, you think of anything above 2 is a decent yards per route run number, and he's posting 6. He's one of the few running backs that can confidently and competently line up out wide as a slot receiver. It gets talked about a lot in the NFL. Oh, this receiver can flex out wide. It doesn't happen very often. There's only a few that can do it competently, but he absolutely can walk into the NFL as a running back that can line up in the slot, line up out wide, and run a full range of routes. But also, he's not just a satellite back. You know, he is competent between the tackles. 2022, he had over 1,200 yards on the ground. Decent touchdown numbers. You know, not a massive touchdown guy, but still over almost 30 touchdowns in his career on the ground. That's before you add in all the ones receiving. And I think that his floor is as a good, solid, competent kind of third down satellite back, whatever you want to call him. But he's got the kind of ability to be more than that. So we see it every year. There's always kind of one satellite back that pops up into the top 12 fantasy, whether it be, you know, Duke Johnson, James White, all of those sort of guys. There's no reason why Dylan Laub couldn't be, to start with, a third down satellite back that could eventually carve out a role into more. You know, we've seen it time and time again, Austin Eckler and players like that. It's... if I'm looking for a later round running back to go and throw a dart on, I'm always looking for receiving upside because, you know, after all, a target is worth 2.5 times more fantasy points than a rushing attempt. Mm. So that's where I'm going to place my bet.
And the name you mentioned towards the end there is the name I was going to mention, which is Austin Ekeler. I mean, a receiving back of that form is, the Ekeler comparison is obvious, is one that cropped up a lot when I was kind of reading around. But Austin Ekeler is the perfect example of when this pays off. I'd completely passed me by that Austin Ekeler was an undrafted free agent in 2017. So there is a route to that, and it happens rarely. Draft capital, we know, is often critical to the success of running backs when in the league and when it comes to fantasy, but there is that path. And as you say, if you're going to take a gamble on someone, it's going to be the elite receiving production, isn't it? It just seems to be a really patient, steady runner as well, and how you go about to say, and got a lot of work as a kick returner. And when you're thinking, if you've not got the draft capital behind you, special teams is the way to keep your contract, is the way to get those opportunities for a lot of players, isn't it, as well?
Yeah, absolutely. It's particularly with, you know, the new rules, and I think a new emphasis on the kickoff returning. So I think we're going to see in the draft perhaps some of those guys that can be a competent returner are potentially going to get drafted higher and a new weight placed on that.
Okay, quick break.
Fantasy football is all about collecting the best roster of players. So why not assemble your roster at home with some help from Stateside Sports? With over 30 sports trading card products in stock right now, Stateside Sports is the best place to grab the latest releases in sports trading cards. Collect autographs of your favorite stars, rookie cards of the hottest prospects, and rare super short print cards to make your collection as unique as your fantasy team. Start your search the best way possible. Visit statesidesports.co.uk now.
So, as always then, any of your sports trading card needs, head over to statesidesports.co.uk. Thank you, as always, to Tony, Dylan and Liam for their continued support and helping us push what we do as well. But we now move on to the wide receivers. And, Rich, I would like to bring to the table my favourite sleeper pick, who has been getting a little bit of momentum over the last couple of weeks. When Ed and I did our record for our wide receiver show, the whole of fantasy Twitter was rife with talk of Ladd McConkey, whereas over the last week or so, I've seen a lot of talk about a following candidate for sleeper pick, including on the Fantasy Sanctuary, where yourself and Matt, FF Dynasty, were talking about this guy, and that is Malik Washington, who, when I got to my stage of my wide receiver research, and you start to get to stage where, yeah, that's another half-decent wide receiver, yeah, that's another half-decent wide receiver, he was the player that jumped out to me when I was looking at. So a little bit older, 23, 5'9", 182 pounds. So he is but a slight man. But his figures have steadily increased over the last few years, particularly when we look for the yards per route run. 2021, 1.98. Slight dip in 2022, 1.8. But then last year, 3.15. Target percentage per route run, 21% to 26% to 31.4%. And as we've said previously, and is well documented, if you can't earn targets at college, you're not going to earn targets at NFL level. So he's earning targets. And his average depth of target, to support what we're going to probably end up talking about his shorter yard usage, has gone gradually down. That average depth of target from 9.9 to 9.2 to 8.1. But his fantasy value is likely to come in PPR formats, because he's got such safe, reliable hands. His change of direction and ability to get low and evade tackles is a key strength. I've written down here, it's like watching a pinball sometimes going through through defensive players. He just seems to ping off someone, or like a speed skater where he just gets so low to the ground and back up and players just can't get to him. He's got absolutely great hands, and if he lands in a spot where 11 personnel is used, he could be a really fancy, productive wide receiver 3, I think, purely on volume. He's likely to be around in the later ends of your rookie drafts. Similar to what we've said with kind of some other players, it depends where he goes. Late day 2 pick, early day 3 is probably where he's going to be about. But I think he's a player I'm going to pick up a fair bit of as one of my last couple of picks in rookie drafts. Am I getting overexcited?
No, I think the talent is absolutely there. You know, this is a guy that, as you said, commanded the ball in college. It took him a little while to get going. He had a slow freshman year, a slow sophomore year, although that was obviously COVID affected. But this last year with Virginia was absolutely insane. You know, led college football in terms of targets, led college football in receptions. What he did was phenomenal. He is that kind of prototypical undersized slot receiver that you give him a two-way go over a defender, defenders are going to struggle to stick with him. You know, he's got elite agility, elite movement skills. I have a slight concern that I think you touched on it there. He is going to be more landing spot dependent than most receivers because a team has to use a high percentage of 11 personnel. He's not going to be on the field probably more than I'd imagine 70% of snaps for most teams. I think if he goes round two or early round three, I'm comfortable taking him for fantasy because I think he's the kind of player that's basically saying, right, a team is drafting him with a plan of how they're going to use him. If he falls to day three, I'm going to be really concerned because I think that with that sort of draft capital, teams are less likely to create a role for a receiver. And I think teams are almost going to say, you just have to be our slot receiver. And they're not going to create free releases and they're not going to get him in advantageous positions. And therefore, I'd worry that he is undersized. He does lack physicality. If a corner gets hands on him, he can struggle. And I'd worry that he wouldn't just be able to play a traditional slot receiver role. So I think, love him. The potential is absolutely astronomical. And, you know, in those third, fourth rounds, you should always be looking for upside. Malik Washington's got that in bucket loads. But there is that slight concern. And let's be honest, there's always going to be a slight concern on any sleeper because otherwise they'd just be a first-round pick, wouldn't they?
Yeah, exactly that. And these are the... Out of the five we're going to discuss, if one of them hits, I will be talking about how I knew it was going to happen all the way along. I won't mention the other four that don't. And we'll never talk of this show ever again if none of them do. But say the percentage chance of any of your later round rookie picks hitting for fantasy is slim, isn't it? So it's like we've said with Laube, like we've said with him, you're looking for the chance to get that ceiling or the chance for a really consistent floor. And it's potentially there with him, say, in the right landing spot. Next up, Roman Wilson of Michigan. Is he someone that is going underappreciated after being on such a run-heavy offense? And could he be a potential value pick in the NFL draft as well as our rookie drafts?
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you look at his raw numbers, they're probably lacking slightly. You know, never had more than 790 receiving yards in college through 4 years. Never commanded more than, 67 targets. But then you look at the advanced numbers, you know, targets per run was over 20% three of his last 4 years. Yards per run was over that 2.0 number all of his last 3 years. Like, the advanced numbers are there. I think Roman Wilson is just that really solid, reliable number two receiver that if you've got him as your, you know, if we're talking 10 starters in Dynasty League, your last flex spot, if you've got him as your first receiver off the bench, you can almost plug and play him and go, right, this guy's going to end up as probably a wide receiver 40. He's going to have some good weeks, going to have some bad weeks, but he's never going to really kill me. And I feel like that's what Roman Wilson is. And every dynasty team needs a couple of those guys that's just solid, reliable. And I just can see him having a 15-year career in the NFL because he's never going to be a superstar. He's probably never going to be a Pro Bowler or an All-Pro. He's never going to have, you know, 100 catch, 1,500-yard seasons. But you can almost pencil him in for 100 targets, 70 receptions, 900 yards, 5 touchdowns, and that's just going to be him for the next 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, no, completely. It kind of links back to what we said at the beginning. Yes, you want to pick the superstar, but you've got to have a well-rounded roster for fantasy, and you are looking for those, like you say, those reliable third wide receivers, those reliable plug and play from the bench, and he's essentially something you can get from that. I think the thing that stood out to me on tape is he's got lots of evidence of catching outside his frame as well. It seemed there were one or two what looked like safer catches. He had a bit of an issue with drops at times, but was also quite adept at moving around his frame to grab that. And a good route runner, and he changes speed really well. He seems to go up and down the gears a lot better than some other wide receivers in that area. Now, the third wide receiver, someone that we looked at, is someone I'm not quite so convinced on. And I'm wondering how much that is to do with the fact that he had a lot of competition alongside him. And that is, from Washington, Rome Odunze's partner in crime, Jalen Polk, 22, 6'1", 203. So he's perhaps a little bit more of that prototypical size and stature than other players we've looked at. But is he someone we should be keeping an eye out for as well then come draft day?
Yeah, I absolutely love Jalen Polk. I think I have a type when it comes to wide receivers, unfortunately, and it's smooth route runners are absolutely my kryptonite. And he is that. I think this is a guy that is so smooth both in and out of his breaks that he can create separation with ease. I think I completely get what you're saying in terms of the raw numbers aren't, you know, mind-blowing. The advanced numbers aren't incredible, but you've got to put into the fact that he was sharing an offense with Rome Odunze, who's probably going to be a top 10 pick, Jalen McMillan, who's probably going to be a day two pick. You've then got Jack Westover, Devin Culp, who are both going to be drafted tight ends. You've got Dylan Johnson out the backfield. You've also then got the other running back whose name escapes me, Will Nixon, I want to say. Like, this offense was loaded. It's not like he was the one centerpiece of the offense and they were building it around him. There was five or six NFL caliber players as skill position players on this offense. So yeah, his raw numbers aren't going to be there, but I think he's got inside outside versatility. And I think that he's going to walk into the NFL as a solid, reliable option for any quarterback. He plays with real football smarts. Like, he understands how to break down zone coverage. He's one of the most adept receivers at sitting in those soft spots, which I don't want to comp him to Puka Nacua because nobody's going to be Puka Nacua. But if you look at what Puka Nacua did really well that allowed him to carve out a role, was he was exactly where Matt Stafford wanted him to be at all times. He fully understood, right, it's zone, I'm going to sit in this spot. It's man, I'm going to keep running. And that's what Jalen Polk gets. And I think we're probably going to be shocked how high he is drafted in the NFL draft. And I think that for fantasy, he could be a really good, reliable wide receiver two, wide receiver three for your dynasty team. But you're not having to pay first round prices, quite frankly. You can probably get him in that middle of the second round.
The thing that really stood out to me watching his highlights was a great catch radius, some really acrobatic catches as well that he's got in his repertoire, and strong hands in those situations. So he's certainly a player that I imagine we're going to see at least a good few highlights for throughout the season. And he was quite adept in that single coverage that he ended up with because of Odunze being there. So if he's, once again, landing spot dependent, yeah, see, there's definitely that route there to him, and it'll be someone that'll be interesting to watch for sure. Well, they are five, what are we going to say, potential, or are we going to go for ironclad, solid gold sleeper picks there, Rich?
As long as they get draft capital, we'll go solid, reliable, ironclad sleeper picks.
Excellent. So we have that. We'll play that soundbite over and over again if at least one of those hits. Thank you very much, Rich. Really appreciate you coming on. Where can people listening find the rest of your work?
Yeah, so you can find me. I'm on Twitter at Dynasty Island. The majority of my work is over at the Fantasy Sanctuary. Come join us as a member. I've got my rookie guide, 118 film-based player profiles, all my rankings, all the rookie model stuff, everything like that. That will be dropping week after the draft. Come join us as a member. It's a good time.
So when we kind of speak about this stage of year, I always have my 2, 3, 4 sort of staple place to go. I have my couple of common channels I'll go to on YouTube to find stuff. I have my common place I'll go to for my guides. And the Fantasy Sanctuary Rookie Guide has become, we refer to on our last week's show, as the answers in the back of the maths textbook. So when Ed and I were going through planning our bits for our rookie shows in the research, I go and have a look at the Fantasy Sanctuary Rookie Guide and go, ah, Rich has said similar things, so I must be on the right path here. It is certainly worth it. So great value. Get yourself over to the Fantasy Sanctuary. Don't really subscribe, but join up as a member as well to get that rookie guide. Your dynasty rosters will thank you come the playoffs and the championship games. I am in absolutely no doubt whatsoever. Right, thank you very much for joining us, Rich. We look forward to seeing you at the UKFFC and drafting with you in various places over the next few months.
Awesome. Thank you very much for having me on. It's always a pleasure and really appreciate your time.
I need you to give someone a lift this week, Malcolm. Take us home.
You have been listening to the team from TH Fantasy Football. For more content, follow TH_Fantasy_NFL on Twitter and Instagram.